The NFL is back, and so is Hard Knocks, with the Cleveland Browns edition starting right now. Season 13, Episode 1 and 2.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome into AfterBuzz Studios. It's another season. The NFL is back, and so is Hard Knocks on HBO. It's season 13 this time around. It's the Cleveland Browns, and we're talking episodes 1 and 2 right now. I'm your host. My name is Michael Rippey. I am joined by two lovely people. How you guys doing?
Yo, what up? It's Evan. This is my girl TK. What's going on? What up, TK?
What's up?
I'm like, damn, TK on the show. I'm like, what's up? I see.
It's a Hard Knock show here. Football is back, and we're recapping both episodes so far. So let's start right from the top of this season, which actually starts in the sports realm, not football-wise, but Cleveland, where we see the banner of LeBron James coming down to start the whole season of Hard Knocks. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I think that like that banner should stay up forever.
Okay.
Like, is Michael Jordan statue taken down when he left Chicago? Nah, it's up there. It's still there. Because all right, that's just Dan Gilbert's way of just like being petty and taking down the banner. Dude ain't even put a jersey on, the Lakers jersey on. He's tearing down the banner. That. But there's certain things, like, because he's going to retire a calf. Just leave it up there, man. Just leave it. Or build a statue, one or the other. It don't matter to me. Build a statue or leave the banner up. You choose.
Well, I mean, I think it's they've done it before. They're just bitter.
And yeah.
It's just kind of one of those things. But do you think he's actually going to retire? I don't really want to get into basketball, but do you think they're actually going to allow him to retire there?
Yeah, because Gilbert's not crazy. Because if LeBron's like, yeah, you're going to put my... He should have retired. He should be retiring his jersey, like, this opening night.
Should already be retired. Yeah. The irony, we're talking Hard Knocks, we're talking LeBron James.
But it is a Cleveland. Changing of the guard, though, you know what I mean?
It is a changing of the guard, and it's irony that they're bringing down the one championship that Cleveland has ever really had, mm-hmm. the thing that brings them the championship, and we're talking about the Cleveland Browns, who went 0-16 last season, and we're watching them this preseason get it going. Just to familiarize everybody, the narrator of Hard Knocks on HBO, Liev Schreiber, does a great job. What'd you guys think about the whole overall first episode before we get into details? Are you guys happy that Cleveland is the team? Would you rather see other teams, or what do you think?
Yeah, I'm always intrigued to see a team that's like a, you know, down and out team. They won one game in 32 games. They're 1-31. Like,
that's Hugh Jackson, baby.
That's kind of an issue. But I love Hugh, though. Hugh's trying to change a culture. And you see that immediately. Like, he's trying to change a losing culture, mm-hmm. in a losing state, in a losing city. Like, so I'm like, I'm all about watching this, you know what I mean, this development.
Underdog story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely you definitely want to see, like, an underdog story, because you want to see them make it. It almost makes you want to cheer for them to make it, opposed to, I mean, the opposite. So hopefully the opposite doesn't happen.
Well, Evan, speaking of Hugh, he mentions something called the cleanse, and we see that early in episode 1, where he runs into Lake Erie because they ended up going 0-16. You actually mentioned his record over two seasons with Cleveland, where he's got one win in 32 games, 1-31. I think the best thing Hugh Jackson has done so far in Cleveland is be able to survive and keep his job, which is impressive right there.
They knee-jerk too quick with coaches, though. Coaches have in all major sports have always been scapegoats, but at the end of the day, players got to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so they're like, he's on the hot seat. I'm like, damn, like, their first five games are crazy. You know what I mean? So, like, it's like, for a guy like Hugh that's sitting around trying to change a culture, you have to give him time to change a culture. So the Lake Erie thing was like the perfect example to show, like, I'm a man of my word. I say, if we don't win a game, I'm gonna jump on Lake Erie. I was hoping he's waiting until the winter time, though, but he was.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I was always getting excited.
Yeah, he kind of got out of that one easy.
Yeah. But the thing, too, with the players have to play, these players are very experienced. They've been playing since they were like 7.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you know, you can give a coach enough time, but the coach also has to know how to kind of zero in and figure out what's working and what's not working in order for them to make it. And the people who are not working, then they just need to go.
I agree.
Speaking of players got to play and experienced players and players that have to go, we'll get to that later. But there are a bunch of new players on this Cleveland Browns team, starting with the quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, mm-hmm. who came over from Buffalo. And he's leading this new Cleveland Browns team. Alongside, we see their first overall draft pick, Baker Mayfield, who will be his backup to start the quarterback. And also running back Nick Chubb. They profile Nick Chubb and Baker Mayfield arriving in Cleveland in the airport, and you see the difference where one guy is getting a lot of notoriety and people waiting for him, and almost nobody knows that Nick Chubb is Nick Chubb.
Oh, like nobody knows who Nick Chubb is.
The guy's asking him next to him, well, you know, did you play college football?
Yeah, see, the thing about it is I love football players. Football players are like, they're all like, you know, like Colin always says, like football players are like bitter, like failed basketball players. It's just because that's what they are, because like he's sitting there like offended because no one knows who he is. But you, bro, you wear a helmet your whole life. Like, they don't know who you are. That's why they, you know, they know the Tom Brady's and they know Odell because they have, like, these things they do. Yeah, they have this personality. So, like, don't get offended. Let your play.
I don't even want to get political. But it's just annoying to me because it's like, you assume he's a football player because of what?
Like, so you play football.
So it's just, you know, it's kind of a catch 22. I just kind of, it annoys me when people just assume you play football because of whatever aspects. It takes me back to Oregon days. I don't know. Anyways, go on.
Just, shout out to Oregon.
Yeah. So we see Baker and Nick going through the airport and they're arriving at camp. One person that's not at camp on the Cleveland Browns to start is wide receiver Josh Gordon, who has had numerous issues on and off the field throughout his entire career. We find out early in episode one he won't be at camp. Do you guys think he'll appear at all on the show?
I don't know if in the show, but I see him playing in the season. I like that he's doing like a preemptive like treatment, kind of like just to get himself together. It's very tragic because Josh Gordon is a bigger, stronger, just as fast Odell Beckham. A lot of people don't know that. It's because he don't spend time on the field. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody talk about Odell. He's bigger than Odell. He's stronger than Odell. He's just as fast as Odell. He's just as athletic as Odell. But Odell's on the field.
It almost sounds like you're a man that lost to someone with Odell on the team in fantasy.
Oh,
or something.
No, I love Odell, but it's just like when they compare him, like, damn, that's
mm-hmm. Josh right.
Gordon,
a better version of him.
Josh Gordon has a world of talent. If he can just keep it on the field without the off field issues, that would be a nice thing to see. Do you think? And let us know what you guys think out there. Do you think that he possibly preemptively didn't want to be appearing on the show? And so because we don't know the reason why he's not actually in camp. And it's apparently not where he's going to get suspended or something. He's just working on his own issues. Do you think he just didn't want the media attention or that would have been a distraction? So he's kind of preemptively doing it.
That's a fair point. That might be something, because that's all they're going to do is probe him. And about like, well, how are you feeling? Are you going to be able to stay clean? You know, reporters, they probe. They try to get those hot takes because
you have to.
That's part of your job. So like, but and athletes, you know, I respect the young man that's saying that he needs help, though. You know, before, because I've been following Josh forever, there was a time where Josh said there's nothing wrong with him. Mm-hmm. Now he's at the point where he feels he needs help. I said, that's a good sign when you admit you do have a problem.
Some maturity.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully we will see him on the field this season for Cleveland. Maybe, maybe not. Let us know if you think we'll see Josh Gordon in episodes 3, 4, or 5. Who knows? But the way he alerted both John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson was basically he's communicating with via new phone, via text. That's kind of what we got going. Other players that we see, Carl Nassib, we see in episode 1. He's apparently a financial wizard. He's teaching a financial class tutorial about compound interest, except I'm not sure he completely understands how compound interest works. He's basically talking. I like the idea how he's trying to inform everyone to keep your money and not let it go, but I think the way he breaks it down isn't completely accurate.
No.
What do you guys think? I mean, he's basically saying if you keep $100,000 in the bank, it's going to turn into like 64. Million
banks, or something banks would just wouldn't make money
just in like 7 years. He was guaranteeing 10% interest, which you can't guarantee that. But I admire the fact that he's trying to be financially savvy.
Whoever his financial advisor is, he needs to fire him.
Whoever he's hiring.
Yeah, because
I like that he's bringing up the topic. I just wish maybe he would say, "I'm bringing up the topic," and then bring someone in to talk about the topic.
They do have people. They have summits. They have seminars. They do bring people in. They bring people in. Like if you went to a good college, they do bring people in the college. The unfortunate stuff is like you have the advice and some people take it and then some people don't take it and they don't realize they just should have took it and then they don't have any money left to actually do something with
100%.
It. 100%. So to listen to somebody in the same position as you, like you're all football players, you all have this massive amount of money, maybe you should kind of look to other folks who are actually been there. Retired football players, people who I think the best people are the ones who are like retired football players turn financial agents because they've been there. They've done it. And there are a lot of them out there. So, I mean, not.
Or you talk to those people that have been successful with their money, like former athletes, see what businesses they bought. Like, it's okay to do that. It's okay to reach out and be like, because football players, it's not like basketball players or like soccer players. Like, you're guaranteed bonus money or you're guaranteed, that's your money. Mm-hmm. Like, because NFL has like wish contracts. They have fake contracts. They give you $100 million, but it's like $5 million guaranteed. Right, you know what I mean? Like, so like your guaranteed money, you have to protect that as much as you can, because they say in the league you only get like three contracts.
Yeah.
Like your rookie contract, the one other contract, and your veteran contract. Like, and you in that you need to make your money in three separate times. So I just like that there's somebody trying to help these guys.
And then you wait until you're 55 to get that retirement.
Speaking of guaranteed contracts and guaranteed money, we actually see Baker Mayfield signing his contract, and they speak to his signing bonus, which would be guaranteed in some of that. And one of the things they note in that is that he can't go skydiving, or if he was to get hurt in skydiving, that would affect his amount of money he received. So a question for everyone out there, and you guys, would you go skydiving?
The thing is, no. Because the homeboy said, oh, you can go skydiving, you just can't get hurt.
Yeah. And if you go skydiving and something goes wrong, you're probably getting hurt.
They're investing in you, a lot of money in you. Mm-hmm. You can't do certain things.
Yeah.
That's just it.
It behooves, like, you're only an athlete for a certain amount of time.
Absolutely.
So guaranteed you're not going to be 40 playing football. It's very rare. So you can do all that stuff you want to do.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody said that. Yeah. You know you don't play football until you're like 75 years old.
And you're going to still be young.
You're young.
Because you can't play football for that long. So you can do all that stuff. Like, my legs were literally insured when I was running track. Like, I couldn't do certain stuff.
And I was
like a nobody. So just don't do it. Don't buy the motorcycle. Like, just do four wheels and just call it safe.
Like, Big Ben almost lost his career, like, on a motorcycle accident. Mm-hmm. And that's when he was in the early stages of his career as a Steeler. And that was in his contract as well. Like, so it was this huge thing. I'm like, Big Ben, like, bro, you're going to be done soon.
Yeah.
You ride a motorcycle all you want.
Lucky if you get 10.
So seriously.
Baker, don't go skydiving. But he did actually have to buy an RV or rent one for a training camp. And he says that in Cleveland, instead of having to maybe buy dinners and so forth, he had to buy an RV. We get a run through of the RV that the quarterbacks are going to hang out in and what it looks like. And so it was almost like a little tour there of the RV. What'd you think of that?
Pass. Like, the poor man, they got the poor four string in there.
Yeah, it's like why? Oh, when you probably just go to, your guys are in a nice hotel.
Oh,
somebody blows up the bathroom, which always happens. No offense, guys, but that's just what you do. And it's a wrap for the RV. So,
well, the RV worker showed us how to actually clean the area.
I'm like,
yeah, no. But who's cleaning it, and how often are they cleaning it?
I gotta have a guy for that. I gotta have a guy.
If you guys have the answers out there to TK's questions, please let us
know. Ain't nobody trying to do that.
Finally, a sad moment towards the end of the episode one, where Hugh finds out that his mother's passed away, and that follows up maybe a week after his brother had passed away. What do you think about the way he took it?
Hugh with his mother, he had an idea. It was only a matter of time. You can see the way he was talking.
Mm-hmm.
I know the brother, but the time, the space was shocking to him. You seen him, he went through different ebbs and flows of his emotion.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, it's not a good thing. You can't, there's nothing you can say about someone losing their family, but mm-hmm. he had football at the time. He had his brothers, he had his friends, his colleagues, and he actually has a job to do. Head coaching in the NFL is the hardest coaching job there is. So it's... So I like the way he handled it as far as what was going on.
I mean, it speaks to the athletes, period. Like, whatever is going on outside, you leave it outside and you play. And, you know, that's what you have to do. And you see him break down in the other episode. And it's just kind of like they said you can have that moment, but you can't use that moment to, like, use it for everything else. Well, like, my mother died and I can't do this. Like, nah, you have a job to do. And if you don't want to do it, we can find somebody else.
Set an example. Like, say, he's demanding all these things from these players. He's expecting these players to make all these sacrifices. So he's leading by example. I'm telling you, he's the right man for the job. I just hope they let him keep the job.
Yeah.
He's the right guy.
And so a good way to probably wrap up episode one in the recap would be what we learned from Jarvis Landry throughout the episode. Is he likes to tell everyone, say, bless him.
Mm-hmm.
And so bless Hugh. And any final thoughts on episode one before we move to episode two?
I like the clip with Jarvis. He's always one of my favorite players. It's good that he's in a different environment because Miami is as fly as Miami is, man. Football wise, that's where things go to die.
Mm.
They ain't been popping since Dan Marino, man. They ain't been popping since Ace Ventura and Dan Marino. Like, that's the last time they was popping. So, like, I like to see Jarvis looking real crisp, looking real crisp on that field because Cleveland is just not one of my favorite cities. Sorry, Cleveland. Cleveland's just.
Right, that's so you just
gross.
Miami and Cleveland.
Wow.
One shot.
You said gross.
Just took Miami and Cleveland out in one shot. Well, you guys are you guys are all watching the AfterBuzz After Show. It's not just our show, and subscribing and liking. And this is a good time before we start episode two to keep you informed on this, right?
Yeah, shout out to Cleveland. I love y'all, man, for real. But like the AfterBuzz, sure, I do. I love y'all. AfterBuzz is our network, produces after shows for nearly all our favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality, TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans, but now we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. So please hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. Shout out to Johan Pena. What up, boy?
You have to let him know to watch now.
Probably ain't watching. What up, boy? He watches everything else.
All right, that was great. Episode 2, which we just got finished watching, starts with Corey Coleman. And pretty much the last we see of Corey Coleman, we see he has a pretty serious sneaker collection, correct?
Good riddance to bad rubbish, is what I say. Yeah, I got to go in there. Trade me. I most certainly will.
Yeah, he goes into Hugh's office and he says, if you don't want to play me, why won't you all just trade me? And then proceeded to get traded to the Buffalo Bills for a 7th round pick in 2020.
Certainly. I will trade you. Certainly.
So he was traded. And corresponding with Corey Coleman's trade, another wide receiver, Antonio Callaway, who is a rookie, is promoted to the first team. And we learn a lot about him in this episode, starting with his run-in overnight, where he gets pulled over by the cops and apparently gets, I don't know if it's arrested or a citation for...
Citation.
For,
not even that, having, just a warning.
Yeah. I guess for having a suspended license and some possession of marijuana. But the more interesting part is how... just kind of like when he's back at practice the next day, he hasn't told anyone, but it seems like the coaches are asking him, they could tell something's up, and he doesn't want to share the information. It's interesting to know that the coaches, it makes you feel like they had their hand on the team, because both Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, both kind of, when talking to him, like, what's up, man? How you doing? It seemed like, you know, something was going on. What'd you guys think about that?
I think either they knew, or and they were trying to give him a moment to become clean, or they were just literally just seeing his body language. Mm-hmm. It was one or the other. Like, but either way, like, that was your come to Jesus moment that you should have took.
It was definitely body language, for sure. And it's just one of those things where it's unfortunate with athletes that if they're so good in school, elementary school, high school, etc., that they're treated a certain way. Yep. And certain aspects of, hey, just tell me the truth and we'll take care of it, those stuff, some of them just don't learn.
Yes.
Because you could see it in his body language. One of the coaches says, like, you have a puppy dog face, like he's visibly kind of showing it.
Absolutely.
And there's his chance to say, hey, coach, this is what happened. Because, you know, it's either... The fact that he's going to get fired for that is not going to happen at this moment.
No.
There are players who do several things far worse. So it's just like he had that opportunity, he didn't.
Well, I would say he's not going to get fired and won't get let go right away because he's talented. And usually the talent outweighs the issues. If he wasn't talented and that happened, he'd be out the door.
Right?
But he's a rookie, so he's young. So he has, you know, he's can do some growing. And we actually see in the episode how he stands up in front of the team and eventually apologizes to the team, which is it's a good moment to show that, you know, he doesn't want to let it go. And Hugh Jackson actually mentions, you know, everyone gets one mulligan, which I find to be kind of not true. If you're good, you probably get multiple mulligans. If you're not good, you probably don't get any. But I like the message. He's trying to say, I got your back to the team. Mm-hmm. I'm standing up for you guys. But, you know, talk to me. Utilize me.
Yeah, we'll see, man. Because I don't know, man. Because Hugh's pretty, I think he's all about business, man. I'm telling you, he traded that guy in a second. He's one of those. Hugh's, and with the young man, like fourth round talent, because of shenanigans, but he's a first round talent, he is. And it's, I just like that. Like I said, Hugh's trying to change the culture. He wants the people to be held accountable. He was like the young man that got traded, he was trying to let him know, like, bro, that we put you on second team because you were dragging ass.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Like these, a lot of these athletes are sensitive, man. That didn't mean you were going to stay on second team. It was a week, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, there's only 27, like, wide receivers in the Hall of Fame. There's only 310 players in the Hall of Fame, 27 wide receivers. Like, bro, you will get traded. You will get cut. They really don't need you.
Yeah, but if they're used to people...
coddling them for their whole career. That's exactly what that was, though.
Yeah.
He's like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, you in the big league, brother? You young, man. He's young. That was just a little, like, little, you know what I'm talking about?
I hate when you say they're young, because in this thing, true. If they were to do it somewhere else, anywhere else, in any other form of business, there would be an issue.
I agree. That's why I said good riddance.
I hate when they say, you know, people are young. It's like, okay, you, like you said, you have this one mulligan, but the whole point of it is just come and tell me the truth. Yeah. Yeah. Because if we have to find out, then that's a whole other issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's. I guess he's only young when you're talking football terms. But yeah. He's an adult.
He is, and he's a young man. Like I said, yeah. I wouldn't get that pass. DK wouldn't get that pass. You wouldn't get that pass. Yeah, I know it's a harsh little thing though. But I'm saying, like, bro, like we will get whatever we can get out of you, seventh round pick. And with Callaway, he's a talent, man. That's one of those guys that could be a breakout star. But it's going to cost him. The league is tough. Mm-hmm. He's going to get suspended maybe a couple games, and it's going to set him back a little bit. But if they have faith in him and they hang on with him, then he could. I'm telling you, he's one of them special players. Yeah, but he's gonna serve some time.
And we'll talk a little bit more about Callaway in a few minutes. I want to move over to some other of the young players, such as a first round draft pick from last season, and that's tight end David Njoku from Miami. He's got an interesting way of handling football, where when he's not on the field, he likes his privacy and meditation. What do you think about that?
I mean, different strokes for different folks. I had to do that. I'm not about that. It just depends. Like, everybody, I love the fact that he found a way to center himself, because a lot of athletes tend not to find their way until it's too late. So it's like, look, I need this kind of space in order to concentrate or to take myself away from football and then come back and be aggressive. So whatever works for you. For me, didn't get it. I'm not about that.
Not you either.
And it's one of those things, like, it's different strokes for different folks. Just like you said, like, that's how he gets in the zone. You know, I know some players that did ballet, you know, that did yoga, that do certain things that get them in their space. Like, if that gets you in your space,
whatever centers you,
hit
some people, then do it.
Do you?
Let us know out there what you think about David Njoku and his meditation. But I was going to say, when I was watching originally, that maybe the meditation wasn't so good because he wasn't able to catch any of the balls in practice. He actually had to stay after or stay long and do 30 balls from the machine, the jug machine. And then he shows up pretty well in the preseason game, which we'll get to shortly. But let's talk about the backup tight end who we learned a little bit about in episode 2, Devin Kajust. Mm-hmm. He's got a whistle with his pops, which was interesting. And we learned more about his pops and the whole scenario. And I thought it was a touching moment because, his pops says, called him. He said he needed him and he was on the first flight there. Mm-hmm. And you could tell that they have a special bond. And that was a touching moment, I think, of the episode. What'd you think?
Yeah, they're best friends, like real best friends. And it's like one of the, he's like the journeyman tight end. He can tell he has a little bit of trouble. Like, he's a second team guy. Like, Hard Knocks showed you that side of a person, and you're pulling for the guy. Like, you find yourself like, damn, I want him to get some playing time. You know what I mean? He's one of them. He's a sweetheart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just because you're sweet. Well, this is the thing, and far be it for me to tell you to quit. Yeah. Right. But it's one of those things where if you're a journeyman, you're kind of like on the cusp. Then one day you're no longer going to be part of the team, and then you've been essentially focusing on, being a part of a team, and now what do you do now? It just feels like he hasn't focused on what's the next step after this whole football thing, because it doesn't look like it's going to last for him for too long. It's very rare. Like, I've seen certain stories where it's like, oh yeah, they're journeyman, and then they make it, and then they're with this team for a couple of years, but it's just one of those things where I just don't get that feeling from him. I love the whole relationship between the father. I know in, I believe it's in Mexican culture, where they do the whistle thing. They had this whole thing on the radio show where, like, it means certain things.
Yeah.
But
They're probably going to cut him. That's just how they do, though. And that's the harsh reality of football. Like, 52, 53 man roster, like, they're going to cut some people because they can bring in different linemen. They can bring in another running back. They can bring in another. You know what I mean? So like if you have to be really outstanding to be in that depth chart, you know. And it's like, but like I said, I'm always pulling for a guy that's trying to pursue his dreams. But football stuff, man, it's the NFL.
It's like too nice.
One thing I'm curious about with David Kajust, and I want you guys to let us know out there in the live chat or the comments at any point. And what do you think? He's grunting a lot. Is he in pain, or is that just a natural?
I hope he's not.
No, they said he had a shoulder, not an injury.
We see consistent clips in the episode where he's got, like, grunting and he's
good.
Yeah, when you're dealing with any type of pain where it's like a 6 or above, anything that you do is going to hurt.
Yeah.
But it's not so bad where you can't work out. And they did mention that he had, like, some type of shoulder strain or something like that. So he's getting hit every time. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like,
If that's week one and week two, that's trouble.
Yeah, it's big time, pretty much. Big time trouble.
But if it gets them through, the grunting sometimes, depending on what you do, and you trying to squat 315, that grunt helps you get back up. So.
Well, speaking of other issues, we see Carl again. And Carl says in episode two that he's getting dumber. Hopefully he's not still teaching financial classes. So he said he noticed that he needed to start reading. And that's our Carl Nassib story.
He's a funny dude, though. He is, though. Yeah, I know what he means. He's probably, like, hearing conversation. He doesn't understand. He's like, wait a minute, I'm not picking this up.
I think that's
I can read a little bit.
I think that's everybody. No,
it
is. That's what, yeah.
When he said it, I was like, man, that's so true. Like, you got to wait. I got to start reading.
If you just surf through Twitter to get your news and you're not reading a book.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Like, anything, it's a problem. It's not going to build well
for you. I love his honesty. He's like, I like his candor, though. He's honest.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of fun and funny, and maybe not funny, we see Todd Haley mocking the names of multiple players like Carl and also Brogan and kid nicknames. What'd you think about Todd Haley in that moment?
What I finally gathered from that is because, like, Todd Haley, he rubs a lot of players the wrong way. He, him and Ben, like, didn't like each other. They kept acting like they didn't. Ben Roethlisberger. So, and it's so crazy, like, when you see... Now you see why, though. Mm-hmm. See, that would piss me off too. As a former like basketball player, I would go crazy. Like, legitimately, I'd be like, man, you need to chill out, man. Like, Todd Haley can't be that bad. Da da da. And then I see that stuff he does every episode. He's doing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He's walking up and down. Nah, I'm telling you, players are like, we don't like that shit.
I mean,
we just don't.
Speaking
like
of a person who has a very sarcastic personality, I mean, I don't think he means it in any type of malice. That's just kind of his personality.
Oh, I agree.
And I get how you might feel that way, but at the end of the day, like, your job is to play. So if that bothers you and that has nothing to do with you playing on the field, then, like, you have a couple options.
But
the option is, like, he's still the coach.
I 100% agree, but that's why Todd Haley bounces around a lot of places, though.
Mm-hmm.
See, but that I'm telling you, I agree with you, but I understand where Ben's coming from.
Yeah.
Like, that
but nobody's
is a
probably
little,
told him either.
It's a little excessive.
Yeah.
Like, even when he's in the, y'all remember when he's in the conference room talking to Hugh Jackson? You don't get to do that. Todd Haley, you don't get that. And you see what Hugh said? Hugh said, yeah, that's, but this is my show. When you run a show, you can do whatever you want. See, that even made him upset. So, mm-hmm. I was like, I get it, though, because Todd Haley's an offensive genius. That mm-hmm. Cleveland Browns offense is going to be clicking this year. Mm-hmm. But you got to, it's what do you want to take? It's
and
a give and take.
Nobody's told him, so he probably has no idea.
Oh, God, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of what Todd has done and said to people and coaches, I want to skip ahead. I want to talk about the preseason game now. And one moment that in the game was, you know, Antonio Callaway has he plays the whole game. Punishment, I guess, on Cleveland is mm-hmm. that you don't sit out, you actually play every snap, which is an interesting way to look at punishment. I'm not sure if it is or not, but you guys can decide. Definitely work him into shape. And he actually shows up. I mean, he scores a touchdown. He mm-hmm. looks good. Baker Mayfield looks good. Tyrod Taylor looks good. David Njoku can't catch the ball in practice, but he scores two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And the Browns look good in the preseason game. Todd Haley on the sidelines tells Jarvis Landry, you know, you got to keep Antonio Callaway and, you know, get him under your wing.
Like,
yeah, maybe you shouldn't even live at your house. And I thought it was interesting. Jarvis's, like, look in response was just like, what? Like, no chance. Like, you know, like, I'll take Aaron, but that's crazy, like, asking.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was an interesting moment. Jarvis was just silent in that moment when Todd Haley asked him. But you just see a lot of Todd Haley. And, you know, you're talking about his interactions, I guess, in the past with Big Ben and in Kansas City and whatnot. You know, so I guess it'll be interesting to see this season of not just Hard Knocks, but the season for the Cleveland Browns, how he handles it.
He'll definitely be, if they let go of Hugh, he's the first one they'll tap, though. He'll be the next head coach of the Browns. If Hugh gets fired, they'll tap him immediately. He is, I'm telling you, he's an offensive genius. He really is, though.
But
like, Ben over walking around pouting, but he ain't never hit through for more yards than Todd Haley, though. Like, he gets that. They're going to be rolling this year. I don't know if they're going to win, but they're going to be rolling.
But if he does, I mean, hopefully Hugh doesn't leave his job, doesn't get let go. But if he does get that position, like, how is he going to rub? Not so he's just rubbing his players, now the whole team overall.
I'm telling you.
Like, so let's just hope Q does what he
is sarcastic. Look, I'm telling, I get it, though, but, like, you see the players get so, they're all, like, uncomfortable with Todd's around.
Yeah.
They
you don't know what's coming.
It's true.
So Cleveland, they played the Giants. They won 20-10. They look good. I mean, obviously the highlights cut it look to make it look even better.
Mm-hmm.
But you see a good sideline interactions. I mean, Baker looks good. I think that's for me what I like most about Hard Knocks is that intimate, you really see kind of a behind the scenes, that action really brings you in, and the production value that HBO is able to put on is tremendous.
Awesome.
No matter the team and who's actually in it, they always are able to do that. Any thoughts on episode two? I want to ask you guys some questions in general.
Oh, shoot.
fair enough. So, So we've been watching now two episodes of Cleveland, and what are we thinking as far as we've gone over their record? They've won one time in the last two seasons. What do you feel like this season so far with the new players, with the behind-the-scenes appearance? Do you think they're in line to make a big jump? Do you think it's going to be another season where they're going to, you know, struggle to win games? Will they win any games? What are we looking at?
Oh, no, man. I'm telling you, looking at the first, man, Steelers, Saints, Jets, Raiders, Ravens, Chargers. It's tough. The Steelers and the Saints, they can already start out 0-2, though. You know what I mean? Then I see them beating the Jets. Then I see them beating the Raiders. So they can be like 2-2 in 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, man, this is going to be tough. I don't know because I'm just worried about Tyrod, man. I'm pulling for a guy that is, he's my kind of quarterback, the first guy in, last guy to leave. Everyone's joking around, and Tyrod's like,
we gotta work.
Yeah. That there's something about that I like, because I'm sure he jokes around when he's all in all right. season, but there's something about that all Ben's guy, and the media is already setting this guy to lose his job. Mm-hmm. And they're already trying to get him to take his job, so like, it's not gonna take long for them to bring Baker in. So that can distract this team when you don't know who's going to be your quarterback. So all my thoughts are, I just want him to go like 4-0 right out the gate. Mm-hmm. And just silence all that nonsense. And they'd be like, okay, wait a minute, there is no quarterback controversy.
So you think that the Cleveland Browns, who have went 1-31, may possibly go 4-0 to start?
I would love it. They're not though.
Could they go 2-0?
They're not beating the Saints.
Okay.
They're just not going to be. Really, one of those teams, the Steelers or the Saints, that's going to be tough. Yeah. Man.
It really just depends what they do after the first loss.
Yeah.
Because that will dictate the rest of the season.
Exactly.
If after the first loss they still rally together, then they might have a good season. But if the first loss they kind of fall apart, then it's just a wrap.
Yeah, if they beat the Steelers, that will set this thing up to be amazing, especially if Tyrod shows out. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, oh my gosh, that's their first win against the Steelers? Like, what?
After the first two episodes of the show, do you think that you have a better thought process or better thoughts on Cleveland this season or worse, just from what you've seen?
It's interesting. They have like dysfunctions. I just seen today in practice. Yeah, it was a big fight. But I like that kind of stuff though. You got to know the culture of football though. That mm-hmm. stuff is good though. It is, man. Like, it's not like any other sport, man. Like, they need, that's because at least they mean they care. It's practice. Mm-hmm. You get mad in practice, that's good. Like, you know what I mean? At least this DB is hungry. At least Jarvis is hungry. Like, that's all I care about. So, like, if they can translate it, who knows? But that's good in practice, man. You don't want everybody walking around like, oh boy, you know what I mean? It's cute. It's cute, star.
Yeah.
Listen to your dad. But you need some grown men in there hitting people in the mouth.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the episode today, episode two, they talk about Cleveland and a possibility of Dez Bryant coming in. What do you think about that?
Need him. They need him. They need him because you don't know when Josh is coming back, if he's coming back. Josh need to get it together, man. Because for all of Dez's problems that he had earlier in his career, he's been like a model citizen for years. Yeah. When they put him on that program and Jerry took him under his wing, like, Dez is just emotional on the sidelines. Like, they need talent, man. And everyone, like, what about that? Like, Dez needs to get there because I know he ain't going to be missing games. He's not going to be missing games for substance abuse.
Yeah. I think with the season two, it really, with every season of Hard Knocks, they really, the shout out to the editors and the producers, how they put it together.
Seriously.
They show that these are just not athletes. They're people. They have families. They do all that. Like, there's so much more than just being an athlete. Yes. And which is, you know, what is needed at the moment. So it's just kind of like, it's nice to see beyond the losing streak that they're actually trying, they're putting in the work.
Absolutely.
And you know, if you're booing or you hate the team or you dislike the team, it's like, you also have to realize that these people are people. And they have something beyond their job.
And shout out to the producers and editors on the production value. What do you think of so far of the music in this season's?
They do a good job, though. Yeah. It's like this.
I've heard, you know, 2 Chainz, Eminem. There's been a lot of good music.
You know, we're in a different time. You know, you got to get the younger people to watch, and you have to, like, even Todd Haley's picking. So he's picking art like Lil Wayne's own. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
So they
know their personnel. They know they got a lot of brothers on the team. Let's just be honest, man. They got a lot of brothers on the
most
team.
Most teams.
No, listen, they ain't no NFL without brothers, man.
Yeah.
So like. But like, so these coaches have learned a long time ago. They have to do, there's a culture there, and they mm-hmm. have to adhere to that culture. Hard Knocks is the same thing. Let's be honest, man. Like, that's who's in the league. That's who runs the league.
I mean, they do it, period. I mean, I train at Burbank High School, and while they're doing their training, I'm, like, doing my track workouts, they're playing hip-hop.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I mean, it's, again, it's part of the culture. I remember when I was at Oregon, there were some issues as far as music, and, you know, you get a little bit of your country, like, 5%.
I'm sure.
And then you play the hip hop and call it a day.
We're going to get into predictions. I have one final question. Put your producer hat on, both of you, and tell me, if it's not the Cleveland Browns starring in this season of Hard Knocks, who would you choose?
I would like to see. I would like to see the Vikings because my guy Kirk Cousins, man. I'm pulling for him. So I want them to go to Super Bowl and win because they've been disrespecting my guy since he's been in Washington. I want this dude to win the Super Bowl. I want Super Bowl MVP. And I would love to see that journey, man, because I love Kirk Cousins.
I mean, like I said, I'm from the T-Dot. We are always pulling for the Buffalo Bills. So.
Oh, that is y'all's team, huh?
Yeah, that's the closest team. That's Buffalo. Our only team.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, that'd be it.
That's kind of cool. Argonauts for a second there.
Well, I mean, CFL, I'm always rooting for the Argonauts.
All right, so that's all I got for episode two. But let's do some predictions.
Listen. I've been here long enough, man. Wait for the sound man. I should know. No, like I said, I hope the couple episodes coming up, they get Dez in. I need Dez to get signed, man. And
so are you predicting that, yes, he will get signed?
Yes, can stop pouting on Twitter, man. Stop pouting on Twitter and get in the training camp and work, burn off a little bit of them calories, get them cuts in and contribute. Because if Callaway stays on and get Tyrod a couple more times. I like this tight end, too. Mm-hmm. That young man, he's something special.
Njoku?
Yeah, he's a big, strong... I got a couple fantasy breakouts going on, man.
Yeah. I mean, he's just... He seems like, yeah, he has it together.
Yeah.
Like, on the field and, like, off the field. It's like, if something happens, he's not going to be the one to, like, not tell you.
No question.
Like, he's like, nah, I'm gonna, whoever his mother is,
yeah,
or his parents are, or whoever raised him,
yeah,
they made sure that he had the essentials on top of the skills. So, kudos to them.
My kind of football player, man. Yeah. Him and Tyrod, those kind of guys. Listen, it's like, it's okay to do what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You always got to be crazy and act the fool and be on TMZ. Shout out to TMZ. I mean, negatively, I like the players that just come to work, bring their lunch pail and their hard hat
and put in the job.
Well, I'm going to predict that Cleveland will win its next preseason game as well. They're going to be playing against your favorite team, the Buffalo Bills.
That's going to be interesting.
And Corey Coleman and Tyrod. Odds old team, and so there's some cool preseason storylines. Yeah. We will see more in episode 3, and we will join you again. But let's tell everyone where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, what up, TK?
You can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. Just follow me for everything, radio shows, TV shows. I'm just everywhere. That's just what I do.
Evan T. Mac, Instagram and Twitter. Holla at your boy.
And I'm Michael Rippey. You can catch me on social media at Mike Rips, and we'll see you next week for another episode of Hard Knocks.
Ciao.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.